American Timelines is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. For more information, go to queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
So now I'm obsessed with time. Come on, tell me about the time. Had it all in my head tonight. Had the time of my life. When the words all come down like blues.
Welcome to another episode of
American Timelines.
I'm Amy.
And I'm a bag of garbage.
Okay, that's Joe.
I don't want to.
No, you're fine. We're moving on.
Yeah, so let's jump right into where all we right. left 1971,
I believe. Well, first, this is the podcast that brings you all of your interesting, nostalgic, and crazy events from pop culture history year by year.
American Timelines, presented by History for Jerks.
That's right. So we are in the second half of 1971.
Oh, yeah.
And this is 1971 Part 2.
Yeah.
So if you did not listen to the first half, you might want to go give that a jingle.
Yeah, and we'd like to apologize for what that last episode ended up being, because we both weren't feeling good. We kind of got sleepy. So yeah. I just apologize. There's a lot of jokes I missed. I listened back. It's like, oh, Whispering Smith. Why didn't I say something about that? That's
right.
A funny thing. That would be funny. Just a guy named Whispering Smith just whispered everything he said. But I missed that joke in last episode. I could have said that and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm offended and I'm upset with myself. So
we're moving on. Now we are going to do...
not every episode is a winner.
Part
you know?
2, 1971. So what's the first thing...
How many episodes of Night Court were a winner? Some of them. Like the ones where
moving
they...
Moving on. You know, trucking on down the road from that.
They have to do
that.
A million cases in one night. Those are great. So,
all right. Not, so,
okay, yeah.
1971.
Yeah, jumping
the
right
summer
in.
Of 1971.
Yeah, we talked about Jim Morrison dying.
Yes.
And Coco the Gorilla, Christy Yamaguchi.
No, okay.
We talked about her birthday.
No, okay. Not...
And then Corey Feldman. Okay, I don't know if I said this, but on Friday, July 23rd, 1971,
yes,
the Weeble toys were released.
Oh.
Weebles wobble, but they don't
fall
down.
I had the Weeble Wobble treehouse.
Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
No,
I swallowed a Weeble.
I always called them Weeble Wobbles.
Oh, we just call them Weebles.
I didn't know they were. I thought they were Weeble Wobbles. When I was little.
Yeah. This says Weeble Toys.
No, I know it's not Weeble Wobble,
Weeble's
but
wobble.
I'm just saying
I thought
it was Weeble Wobble. And so that's what we called it when we would play with it, the Weeble Wobble Treehouse.
Wow. I can't believe you thought that.
I know. Just because of that damn commercial is misleading.
I don't know if I can continue being married to someone who thought that Weebles,
they were Weeble Wobbles.
Weeble Wobbles.
I remember that treehouse, too. I remember, I can picture it in my mind.
Okay, I'll keep it.
And there was a boy Weeble and a girl Weeble, and they had a little car that came with the treehouse.
Yeah, they had different Sesame Street ones and Mickey Mouse ones. And
yeah, they ended up doing that later.
Even though they were, nothing was 3D, it was all crammed into that egg. Yeah, Weeble's Wobble, but they don't fall down. I think we might have mentioned that because I said Tom Green's birthday, and then he got mad. Anyway, July 31st, 1971 was a Saturday, and James Taylor, You've Got a Friend.
Winter, spring, summer,
went to the top of the Billboard charts. Yeah.
That's okay.
All
that
you
sounds kind of
to is call. So this, to me, You've Got a Friend, it's in every single cartoon movie ever in the world now.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But that song, but it's huge, and I've always thought of it as James Taylor.
Right.
But.
It wasn't originally
he
him.
Didn't write it.
Oh.
Remember last episode I said, I didn't realize how many songs
Burt Bacharach?
She wrote. She wrote all these songs.
I can't remember what
it was.
And
then she had an affair with James Taylor, and then I said,
George Harrison.
She wrote one of
wife?
His biggest hits.
Oh, no, Carly Simon. Carol King.
Carol King, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Carol King wrote it.
Okay.
So how about that? Yeah. And she actually recorded it, too, that same year, I think.
I think I remember her version.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... I was not aware that that was a thing.
Yeah.
So I listened to it. It was good. Yeah.
Okay, what
you've
else?
You've Got a Friend. And then Sunday, August 1st, 1971, there is a small sculpture on the moon named Fallen Astronaut. Oh, did we talk about this?
What? A small sculpture on the moon.
There's a small sculpture on the moon named Fallen Astronaut, made by Belgian artist Paul Van Hooydyk.
Yep, you got it.
And placed by the 100%. Crew of Apollo 15. That's his name, Hooydyk?
Yep, Mr. Hooydyk.
Yep, it's an 8.5 centimeter aluminum sculpture created by Val Hooydyk.
That's the best part of that whole story is that guy's name.
Yeah. And that was the same day that the Sonny and Cher hour was on.
Okay. All right.
Monday.
Yes.
August 2nd, 1971.
Yes.
The movie Billy Jack was released.
Okay, so that's when it was finally released.
Do I sound too loud to you?
No.
Okay, maybe it's just my headphones that are... But there we go. Maybe that's better.
Okay.
Billy Jack was released.
Yes. That's when it was released. Okay.
He was an ex-green... He was an ex-green beret Hapkido expert.
He's Hapkido or something?
Yeah. Maybe it's spelled Hapkido. It's spelled with H-A-P-K-I-D-O.
I don't know.
That's what it says. This is from Wikipedia.
Yes.
He saves wild horses from being slaughtered for dog food and helps protect a desert freedom school for runaway. Helps protect a desert freedom school for runaway.
For runaways? Probably. Yeah,
it's probably a typo there. Well, okay. Wikipedia, yep. We can't use you anymore.
You probably just copy and pasted it wrong.
Oh, dipshit. User error, you're saying?
Yes, I'm thinking that's more likely.
I think I copied and pasted it perfectly.
No, I think... Anyway, let's move on. Whatever. That's not that... That's kind of boring.
What were we talking about?
Billy Jean. Billy Jack.
Oh, Billy Jack, that movie. Saturday, August 7th, 1971.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees take over the Billboard charts with How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?
How can you mend a broken heart? Something like that.
Yeah. You know that. You know what that's, what they're talking about? Why he wrote that?
No.
What that's...
Is it a Victoria Principle?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the Bee Gees.
I know.
Oh. But he wrote that because they broke up. The Bee Gees brothers or whatever. Yeah, Andy Gibb and Barry Gibb, I guess.
Andy Gibb and Barry Gibb and there's another one. Robin Gibb.
Yeah, so they broke up. But they're brothers in a band. You can't break up. Your brothers in
a
band.
So they sang a song about how can you mend.
And then they got
heart?
Back together. When they got back together, that was the broken heart. It was the broken heart of their friendship and their brotherhood being troubled.
It's a little bit, gay.
It's kind of sweet.
It's a little bit gay, though.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an odd, it's a weird thing. It makes me.
Because I think it's a girl, like, the song is, like, about a girl.
It's a girly thing. I don't think the Bee Gees is particularly tough.
No, I guess not.
Like, I think, if they're really mad at me mm-hmm. and coming at me, like, in a dark alley, I don't think I'd be afraid.
Probably not.
I mean, even if they had weapons, I'd be like, ah, yeah, these guys, it's Bee Gees, they're not too tough.
Which, the weird thing about the Bee Gees is that
take them.
Barry Gibb and Andy Gibb,
We're
actually pretty good-looking guys, but then Robin Gibb, he looks like Gargamel.
Poor guy. He got none of the good genes.
Oh, my God. He looks like dog shit.
I actually love when that happens. I love it when that happens. There's
like family one
relative.
Person in the family.
One person
like,
is just like, oh, God, what happened to that guy?
Room,
yeah.
Like, whoa, you're the milkman's
The reason I like this is because it's me. That's...
It's you.
I'm the one that everybody's like, gross, what happened?
What happened there? Did Lynn have a fall? Did suffer some spills while she was pregnant?
Let's not bring my mom's name into this. No, come on.
Is that why there's something wrong with you?
Maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
Who's this weirdo that showed up?
All right,
the Bee Gees.
Yep.
Anyway, I could take the Bee Gees in a fight. All of them. Oh, I had a Bee Gees drum set. When I was a kid.
Did you really?
Yeah, my grandparents bought it for us.
That's pretty sweet.
And I think, my mom actually did the age old thing. She was like, yep, thanks for buying my kids a drum set. It's staying at your house.
Oh, so.
So we couldn't play it unless it was at grandma's house.
Oh, that's smart.
Care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees drum set. It was.
That's pretty funny.
I don't know why it said the Bee Gees on it. And then. Saturday, September 4th, 1971, we got a new number one single, Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney.
Oh.
Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey.
No, never heard of it.
Uncle Albert is, I think it's the the A side's Uncle Albert.
And the other,
or maybe it's all one song. I don't
the
know.
The other
it's
side would
stupid.
Be in some guy's name. Uncle Albert and Admiral.
Yeah, Uncle Albert was the A side, and the B side was Admiral Halsey.
So the songs were just people's names, just dudes' names.
Hey, it's me.
All right.
ASMR, what? Joe.
ASMR.
You know what ASMR videos are?
Oh, the ones where people like whisper and stuff.
Yeah, and they like do a little like noises with their hands and
yeah,
talking, just whispering and brushing the microphone. And it's supposed to be like good for your senses, or you get a tingle or something. But
it's weird.
I tried to watch like 3 or 4 of them to see if it helped me get to sleep.
Yeah.
But now how YouTube algorithms are like,
yeah,
anytime
I
open
YouTube,
anytime I open YouTube, it's like here are 5,000 girls
God.
Going
wormhole.
It's me. ASMR, whatever my name is.
Yeah.
And then today I'm going to do. And then sometimes, like, there's this one girl, now she's got, like, fake green screen. Like, her parents got her a green screen, so she puts different things behind her.
Yeah.
Sometimes she's got a doctor, and she's, like, checking you out. I'm going to check you out.
What?
I'm going to take your pulse. Now I'm taking your pulse. Now I'm
Were you masturbating while you were watching
No,
this?
But I'm, like, and she's, like, a teenage girl, so I'm, like, there's going to be creepos that are looking
sure.
at, like, think that's sexual or something.
Of course.
But it's not. It's just, like, making sounds, like, stuff like that over and over.
That's weird.
And then I can't get...
I don't understand how that would...
Away from them.
...work. You can't get away from them.
They keep showing up all over YouTube. Every time I open YouTube, there's, like, 20 of them.
Because you looked at it for it once.
Yeah, you look at one thing and it, like, changes your...
Yeah.
Thing, that's all you like.
I know.
Like, I tried to join Pinterest...
Oh, boy.
Somebody made me... I have to do it for a work project, and I don't get it. I've never got what Pinterest is.
It's like a bulletin board.
Yeah, and so we got on this bulletin board, and it's supposed to be brainstorming ideas for a festival, right? And I don't know how Pinterest works, so I just, like, join it. And I'm like, I don't see anything.
Oh.
And I said, type something you're interested in or something, you know, so I typed chicken wings just to see.
Oh,
I was
no.
just trying to play with it and see how it works.
Yeah.
Like, what if
that's
like
all you're going to see.
And it was just a page filled with pictures of chicken wings. And I was like, okay, that's what do I do with this now? Like,
each one you can click on, and it's a link to a web page.
Well,
so if you're looking
for Google image search, I guess.
If you're looking for a recipe for chicken wings, that's what you would type in.
So, well, here's my problem with that. So I clicked on one just to see what I can do with it. And then I could pin it. It allowed me to pin it. It was like the only option.
It's like a bookmark it kind of thing.
Yeah. And so I pinned it. And the only place I had was where they invited me to this room.
So you put chicken wings in a work thing?
In my work thing. I put a dry rub.
Picture of chicken wings?
Yeah, because that was the only option. Like, I didn't know what happens when I do that. I don't get it. So I pinned it in there.
What did the people say?
They were all like...
they probably weren't surprised.
They emailed me. I was like, Joe, did you... Did you mean to put a chicken wing recipe in this festival Pinterest thing that's like, it's on the same board as like people in the city? Like,
yeah.
like city officials and stuff
God.
That are helping do this festival. And I'm,
you put a chicken wing picture on it.
I put a chicken wing recipe on there. And that's not the worst part of it. So I figured that out. I was like, no, I didn't mean to do that. I will delete that right now. And when I deleted it, so it was gone. That's fine. But now every time I get on there, all it is wings. Like, everything is just
that's
chicken.
That's because you've never searched anything else.
So it's homepage. Hey, there's more wings. And now they're emailing me like, hey, Joe, you want some
wings?
Here's some wing recipes. I'm getting, like, I'm on lists. I've joined a club. I'm in a wings club now.
No,
I'm president of a wings club.
No, that's not true. Now you're
just all these things just randomly happen just from getting on there.
From
so
Pinterest,
like all I do. It's like, but so Pinterest to me is chicken wing hub.
Yes,
it's a social media platform just
chicken
for chicken wings.
Enthusiast.
Apparently,
yeah.
So
you think that's all it is because you've never
that's
looked
all it
at anything.
Is. Yeah, I guess.
Wow. Why does everybody like chicken wings so much?
I like chicken wings as much as the next man, but...
This is weird.
I mean, it's like Twitter for chicken wings is what I thought it was. It's like just chicken wing Twitter. Like,
all right, what's next?
Chicken wing Twitter, y'all. That's my porn name, chicken wing Twitter. Hey, hey-oh! That was a good one. What were we talking about? Paul McCartney's song Uncle Albert? How the hell did we get to that?
I don't know.
Uncle Albert is a terrible song, and Admiral Halsey's the B-side.
Okay.
Saturday, September 11th, 1971, Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And Help, it's the Hair Bear Bunch.
Hair Bear?
The Hair Bear Bunch. Remember the Hair Bears in the 70s?
No.
Both on CBS Saturday Morning.
Yeah.
And the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm.
The Funky Phantom and Lidsville, all on ABC Saturday Morning. These are cartoons.
Sweet.
The Jackson 5 cartoon. This is when the Saturday Morning cartoons began.
We should look those up every year, what the Saturday Morning cartoons were in 19 whatever.
Well, this is when they started. There weren't any until
then.
Like, this is when they were like, hey, dudes, kids, all Saturday Morning, kids have
nothing to do.
They don't go to school, they don't do anything, and nobody wants to get up with them.
Just entertain them.
And they will drive their parents nuts.
Yeah, for whatever,
wanting to buy all the stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, let's just put a ton of kids commercials, and we will, Toys R Us will be a boom. Yep. McDonald's is going to sell Happy Meals.
That's exactly
we're going to sell
happened.
Everything, man. And then we were like, shit, yeah, these cartoons are great. And we all still are like, yes, these cartoons are the greatest thing in the world, man. Saturday Morning cartoons.
Yeah.
And our kids never experienced
that, because cartoons are at their beck and call.
At any time they want it. But
which, like, makes me sad, because that's one of my favorite memories of a childhood.
Oh, I remember getting butterflies in my stomach and so excited about the new fall lineup. They'd have a show
cartoons
at night just dedicated to announcing the new Saturday morning cartoons.
My best friend Joy lived across the street.
Yeah.
And her and I would come over in her pajamas and knock on the window. And then she'd come in, and then sometimes I'd go to her house in my pajamas at Saturday Morning, and we'd watch Saturday Morning cartoons together.
Yeah, that was the thing to do.
It was such a
such an exciting thing.
Yep.
Saturday Morning cartoons, y'all. That same Saturday, 11th, 1971.
Yes.
Donny Osmond takes over the Billboard number one spot.
Donny Osmond.
Go away, little girl.
I don't know.
Go away, little girl. I remember. It was pretty creepy. Like, it.
The words, you mean?
Yeah, they're singing about somebody, like a teenager, having a crush on a grown man. The grown man's like, go away, little girl.
Oh.
Because I want to bang you. Like, get away.
Oh, you're tempting me.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah, leave me alone. But that's how I took it. Kind of gross.
Well, Donny Osmond wasn't older, though, at the time. He was pretty young.
Oh, that's right.
So that can't be what it's about.
Donny Osmond sounds like Michael Jackson.
He does?
Yeah, back then.
Back then he did.
He was just like a little tiny kid singing.
Mm-hmm. I had a Donny Osmond Ken doll.
Did you?
He was everybody's boyfriend. Because I only had one Ken, and I had 35 Barbies.
Yeah, the Osmonds.
Everybody had him, and he was a different guy for every Barbie doll.
They were big in the 70s. I remember the Osmonds.
Yep.
Wednesday, September 15th, 1971. Columbo premiered.
Columbo. Did we watch that trailer? I think we did.
No, the TV show.
Oh, the TV show.
Remember Columbo?
No.
The cop.
I mean, I've heard of it.
A little short, messy hair guy.
I've heard of it, but I never saw it. It wasn't on by the time I came out.
Well, there was a couple pilots in 1968 and early 1971, but the first regular episode was Wednesday, September 15th, starring Peter Falk.
Okay.
He's a homicide detective with the LAPD. I don't know.
Okay.
Columbo. I had to start liking Columbo just because the Beastie Boys have a rap lyric about,
you're ridiculous,
and you're watching Columbo, so I had to, like, oh, what's Columbo? Oh, what is that? So I had to just
learn
what it was. I didn't end up liking, but I wanted to learn what it was because I thought, Beastie Boys, give him a shout out, it must be great.
Oh, man.
I don't know, stupid. And then Alfonso Ribeiro was born Tuesday, September 21st, 1971.
Listen, we're not doing that again this episode.
Except for Alfonso Ribeiro.
No. That's the only one, then.
There's a lot of people that didn't know who he was, that thought he was just, like, Fresh Prince was his first thing.
Oh, I know.
And I've been telling people, like, millennials, you can blow their mind by showing them Alfonso Ribeiro.
On Silver Spoons.
Yeah. And when he did the Michael Jackson commercial. Pepsi thing, he looked just like he could dance. People were like, oh, my God, Carlton was somebody else. Oh, my God. So those of you millennials listening, you're welcome. I just blew your mind. Boom.
Ridiculous.
And those of you who want to impress a millennial, tell them about Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yep.
They'll be very thrilled and excited.
Now, are millennials, what is the age group like right now?
Millennials, are they? I think they're still millennials. So like, there's something new.
So, like I work with a 23-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Or no, like 22-year-old, I think. She's real young.
Okay.
Is she a millennial?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. The millennials are still in high school, I think.
No.
I think it goes all the way to high school right now, yeah. It's like current to...
Those kids are millennials?
Technically, I think.
They're in a different
Maybe
generation.
Not. I don't know. I don't understand how the world works.
Okay.
I just know after me is millennial, and then... gets fuzzy.
No, there's another one. There's one in between. There's like Generation Y or something in between, I think.
I think Generation Y was millennials.
Well,
I don't know.
I don't either.
It's like we're describing the human race as like waves of New Coke.
Yeah.
Waves of... Is that Crystal Pepsi?
Yeah.
Or is that... What am I talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
Okay.
Soul Train premiered on Saturday, October 2nd, 1971.
Soul Train.
Yeah. I remember Soul Train.
That was on Sunday morning. Soul Train was on.
Oh, yeah.
Like at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning.
It's just like all these shows run together for me. Like I remember Solid Gold,
Soul
Train.
I know Soul Train wasn't originally on Sunday morning, but I'm saying when I watched it.
Oh, when we watched it, yeah. It might have originally been on Sunday.
No, I think it, not in the morning. I'm sure it was a night show. Well, I mean,
Maybe they replayed it in the morning or something.
I think it was probably.
Yeah, or maybe they put reruns, later.
I don't know, though, for sure.
Yeah, who knows. But it premiered on a Saturday. And then on that same Saturday, Rod Stewart takes over the Billboard charts with Maggie Mae.
Oh, wake up, Maggie, I think I got something to say to you.
That's a
good song.
It's
not, Rod Stewart's not one of my favorites
in
general.
Yeah, me neither, but
I do like that
sometimes
song.
I'll turn up some of his old stuff. And he had that crazy, crazy mullet hair.
Yeah, awful hair.
He always had some crazy looking hair.
Yes, he did.
But yeah, I mean, every once in a while there's Rod Stewart that kicks ass. It was about the first woman Rod Stewart ever had sex with at the 1961 Billy O Jazz Festival.
What?
The woman's name was not Maggie Mae, though.
Oh, I see. Maggie was about that.
Okay. Yeah, Maggie Mae. It was about Rod Stewart getting laid at a jazz festival.
Yep.
Awesome. Tell people that all the time. I'm going to go to jazz festivals and tell people that.
That what?
Hey, you know, Maggie Mae is... song Rod Stewart wrote about some chick he banged at a jazz festival.
And what do you hope to gain from that?
I don't know. I'll be at a jazz festival and be like, hey, Rod Stewart got laid at a jazz festival. Yeah. Wrote Maggie Mae about it. Yep. But they might think I'm like hitting on them. Like, hey,
I don't know what they're...
It's okay to have sex at a jazz festival.
Anything they're thinking, it's not going to be good.
Yes, maybe I won't.
Whether it's that or whether it's just, maybe this guy's a weirdo.
Maybe I just won't tell anyone
no.
about Rod Stewart writing Maggie Mae about someone he banged at a jazz festival.
All right, what's next?
Saturday, October 9th, 1971, French Connection.
Oh, that looks
was
good.
Released.
Didn't, I, that's that did supposed look to good. Be really good.
And we did watch this trailer.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it, though. I should have seen it, but it's one of those movies that's like super famous that... Like Muppet's going to be like, oh my God, you never seen that?
Yeah, he'll be mad.
Yeah, he'll be pissed. Yeah, he won't talk to me
French
for months.
Connection. It's supposed to be the best movie ever.
Yeah.
There's a scene where they chase down a drug dealer dressed as Santa Claus, and that's based on a real-life tactic used by Eddie Egan and Sonny Grasso.
Okay. Used by them where?
On stakeouts in Bed-Stuy.
Oh, okay.
Egan and Grasso discovered drug dealers could easily spot undercover cops and would often flee the scene before the cops could arrest them. This is according to Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
One Christmas, Egan came up with the idea of dressing in a Santa Claus suit, figuring the dealers would never suspect Santa Claus of being a cop. As depicted in the film, Egan walked the neighborhood streets as Santa Claus, singing Christmas carols with local kids. When he saw a deal going down, Egan sang Jingle Bells as a signal to his partners to move in and make the arrest.
Sweet.
The tactic worked beautifully, and Egan... His partners made... Wait. And Egan and his partners made dozens of Christmas arrests over several years.
Because he didn't blow his cover by singing Jingle Bells.
Yeah. Friday, October 15, 1971, a man named Sylvester Magee claimed to be the last living slave and survivor of Civil War.
What?
Yep. He died in 1971 at the supposed age of 130.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That's an old man.
He was purported to have been born in North Carolina in 1841 to slaves Ephraim and Jeanette, who were held and worked on the J.J. Shanks plantation.
So he was a slave, too?
Yeah, he was born a slave. He was purchased at the age of 19, just before the American Civil War, by Southern plantation owner Hugh Magee at a slave market in Enterprise, Mississippi, he says.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
And he died on that date?
He died on October 15, 1971. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
A slave was still alive
in
1971. And people say, oh, we're so far removed from all that.
I know. It's like, well, no, not really.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Jeez.
Not really.
Yeah, I wish people would just recognize. Snoop Dogg was born on 1970 and Wednesday, October 20th. No. Snoop Dogg is a very important figure in American history.
We're not doing birthdays.
That should be President's Day, October 20th. From now on, it should be like President's Day, Snoop Dogg Day.
Okay.
Gosh, that should be a holiday. I'm not sending my kids to school on October 20th. Snoop Dogg's birthday.
Okay.
Sunday, October 24th, 1971. You know how you always ask me, or maybe our kids ask me, hey, has any NFL players ever died on the field? And I'm always like, no, I don't think so, no.
I know.
Oh. But I've heard of basketball players, but guess what?
What?
Sunday, October 24th, 1971, an NFL player died on the field, Chuck Hughes.
Did he?
Yep. The game continued with a silent crowd, second in career receiving touchdowns with...
The game continued.
The game continued with a silent crowd. They finished the game.
After somebody died?
Yep.
What?
Yep.
Why?
Yep.
How did he... What did he die of?
He had like a heart attack or something.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like it was just between plays and I guess he either caught a pass or was receiving play, but he just jogged back to the huddle and then fell over.
And it wasn't enough to end the game. Let's keep playing.
They continued the game.
What the hell is wrong with these
the
people?
Game. I know. I would start bracing myself as I was reading this because I remembered I put that in there and I was just picturing your reaction. Like, what in the world?
Well, that happened at that other thing. What was it? Was it wrestler? Yeah, it was that wrestler that fell.
Oh, yeah,
and they continued the matches.
They continued the matches. The guy died and they kept going. That's what Owen would have wanted us to do.
Right. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This is nuts.
Yeah, it's nuts, isn't it? Chuck Hughes.
Okay.
And then Monday, October 25th, 1971, Electric Company premiered.
Oh, I loved Electric Company.
I knew you'd like that one.
That was a great show.
Yeah, it was.
I remember all the parts. I remember the Spider-Man, live-action Spider-Man guy. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
And remember those, like, when the silhouettes of the faces would come out and say the parts of the words?
Yeah, when the Spider-Man guy was there, I loved it, yeah.
And Letterman, that cartoon.
I just can't. And Morgan Freeman, of
Morgan
course,
Freeman was on
Dracula
it.
Or something.
Rivera was on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was great.
It was.
Yeah, just that Spider-Man thing was so cool. I remember that was my favorite part.
Yep.
Like, Spider-Man, look at Spider-Man. It's real Spider-Man.
Yep.
And I got my picture taken with him when I was real little. I was like 3 or 2, and I was really scared. I don't know why.
Oh, kids get scared that age.
I thought it was a real Spider-Man. Friday, October 29th, 1971, rock and roll deaths.
Oh.
Dwayne Allman presented a motorcycle crash.
Okay.
You familiar with Dwayne Allman?
The Allman Brothers?
Allman Brothers, yep.
Yeah.
He was killed right after the release and initial success of At Fillmore East, his album.
Oh, okay.
The band was on a break from touring and recording. Allman was riding his Harley-Davidson Sportster motorcycle at high speed on Hillcrest Avenue in the western part of Macon. The western part of Macon.
Macon,
Georgia.
It's a fresh side.
Western part of Macon. As he approached Bartlett Street, a flatbed truck carrying a lumber crane stopped suddenly in the intersection, forcing him to swerve sharply. He struck either the back of the truck or the ball on the lumber crane and was thrown from the motorcycle, which landed on top of him and skidded another 90 feet with him pinned underneath it.
Oh, my God.
Crushing his internal organs. He was alive when he was taken to a hospital, but despite immediate medical treatment, he died several hours later from massive internal injuries.
Wow.
Gross. That is disgusting. That is according to Wikipedia.
Yeah. Bummer.
Ugh, it was a bad day. Poor guy. That's a terrible rock and roll death. Yep.
It was a bad day.
And meanwhile, Winona Ryder was being born.
No.
She was born in the same hospital.
All right.
And then November 3rd, 1971, Fiddler on the Roof, the number one movie that year, was released.
The big one that
people might not know. It was filmed with a nylon stocking placed over the camera lens to give the footage of a washed out earthy feel.
Oh, well, that was an inventive little thing.
How about that?
How about
washed
that?
Out and earthy, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call you, babe.
What?
Washed out and earthy.
I don't know about that.
No, I think it's fine. Probably. It's probably a compliment. I don't know.
I'll kick you.
Mm. Me?
Yeah, I'll kick you.
Me? Just me?
Kick you in the neck.
Just little me?
Yes.
November 6, 1971, Cher takes over the Billboard charts with Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves.
Yeah, I hate this song. What about
you? Do you? I like it.
I hate it. I really hate it. Yeah.
It sounds like a circus.
I don't know. I just hate it. I just hate everything about it. I can't listen to much of it. Like, I'm like,
that's
when it
funny.
Comes on the radio, I'm like, oh, God, I can't flip necks faster.
That's so
funny. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves. You know, maybe I'm still just upset that they didn't keep the original title.
What was it called?
Gypsies, Tramps, and White Trash.
No.
It was.
Was not.
According to Wikipedia.
No, that's not
true. It was Gypsies, Tramps, and White Trash. Look it up.
You're lying.
Look it up.
Really?
They changed it. Yeah.
No. Yep. Are you lying to me?
I swear. Producer Snuff Garrett, he advised that the title be changed. And
that doesn't even go.
Gypsies,
Tramps, and White
Trash. Gypsies, Tramps, and White Trash. Kid Rock loves it.
Yeah, he probably does.
And White Trash.
Yeah.
Sometimes I see people, I'm like, I bet you smell like Kid Rock. you just know they probably smell just like, and you know, you can just know what Kid Rock smells like.
Yeah,
you know,
we never get there,
but God, you know that guy does not smell good.
Nasty.
B.O. and weed. Cigarettes.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, you look like Kid Rock smells. That's what I say to people.
Yikes.
Tuesday, November 9th, 1971.
All right.
You have a story to tell.
I do. I'm going to skip ahead to August 30th, 1972.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm just going
to
skip.
Oh, wait, you're going to skip to August 30th, 1972? You mean the exact day that Tony Randall and Betty White were on Password All-Stars?
Yes, it was that.
That exact day?
Yep.
Holy cow.
In Westfield, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Early morning. Mm-hmm. Police report to a fire at 431 Hillside Avenue. This house was a scene of a grisly murder the previous year.
Well, Chuck, I guess I got to go to this fire. Too bad I won't ever know what happened on Password All-Stars with Betty White and Tony Randall because there's no VCRs. They haven't been
invented yet. That's right. So
darn it,
by sunrise, the house was gone.
Whoa. Completely gone.
Yep.
Completely
that's
burned.
Right.
Okay.
10 months earlier, in the fall of 1971, it was this 19-room Victorian mansion was the dream home for the List family.
Oh, nice. Sounds cozy.
John List is a 46-year-old accountant.
46, huh?
And he was an accountant. And he lived there with his wife,
boring.
Helen, three teenage children, and his 85-year-old mother, Alma.
Oh, well, now she's going to shake things up.
Yeah. Well, List,
you know, Alma could shake some things up.
List was a devout Lutheran, and he was viewed by the community as a devout patriarch of the family.
Okay, good. Brother goes to church.
He was very introverted and soft-spoken, like what you would expect an accountant. Real kind of stuffy.
Oh, man. Now, we have a lot of accountant listeners, honey. Now,
well,
we can't.
Just the typical 1971 accountant.
Yes. 71 accountants are stuffy and pieces of garbage and boring.
Yep.
You modern-day accountants, you guys make the fun happen. I love accountants.
In the 6 years the family had lived there had been no indications of trouble in the family at all.
Okay. No trouble.
The week of November 9th, 1971, letters started to arrive at the schools of List's children, 16-year-old Patty, 15-year-old John, and 13-year-old Frederick.
You mean those lists were being sent out the same time Mod Squad was on?
Mm-hmm.
The episode where a used car salesman makes a deal with the devil?
Yes.
Huh. That's crazy.
So,
also the same day that Cannon, starring William Conrad, who was from Jake and the Fat Man, the fat guy, mm-hmm. remember? He was on a show called Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Frank Cannon is an overweight, balding ex-cop with a deep voice and expensive tastes and culinary pleasures.
Okay.
He becomes a high-priced private investigator. The same time those 2 days
yes,
were on.
Yes, right. So during that week, the school started getting these letters from John List,
okay.
the father. He had written that the family would be going out of town for a few weeks to care for an ailing relative.
Okay.
So for those next few weeks, the mansion sits quietly, lit by interior house lights.
Okay.
Weeks pass, and slowly the lights in the house start to burn out.
Right, as they would if somebody was not there.
That's right.
Okay.
One by one. This started to arouse the suspicion of the police. So on December 7th, officers went to the house.
What were the police worried about? Because he said he was going out of town, right?
Yeah, but
just nobody came back.
It was weeks and weeks, and then the lights burning out.
Yeah.
Just that was weird.
Okay.
So neighbors told the officers the family had gone on a trip, and they didn't know if John's mother had gone with them or not, or if she had stayed. So police entered through an unlocked window.
Okay.
They went to the kitchen, and they saw bloodstains on the floor.
Ugh.
And they could hear classical music playing.
Ooh, creepy.
Yeah. They went into the ballroom, and they discovered several bodies in sleeping bags laid out in a neat row. It was Helen and the three children.
Oh, God.
John and his mother were unaccounted for.
Uh-oh.
When officers made it to the third floor apartment, they found his mother. And that's where she had been.
She was dead?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Is this what they based Psycho off of?
No.
Guy and his mom?
No.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that case later, they based that off of.
Yeah, Psycho was before this, though.
Yeah, that's a whole nother treasure trove of insanity. But anyway, in the office, they found a letter written by List to his pastor 4 weeks earlier.
Mm-mm.
In the letter, in a very detached tone, he took full responsibility for the murder of his family.
Mm.
He wrote he was facing bankruptcy, and he killed his family to spare them the sinful effects of poverty.
Oh, that's so it's the righteous thing to do.
Right,
see.
Yeah.
I get it, yeah.
He ended it by saying that mother's in the third floor hallway. She was too heavy to move.
Oh, no. So she was a big lady, Alma.
So a nationwide manhunt begins.
Okay.
2 days later, his Chevy Impala was found at the Kennedy International Airport.
Do you think he screamed and hollered in his Chevy Impala?
I don't know. He might have.
Hmm. I always scream and holler in my Chevy Impala.
For 2 decades, the letter he left would be the last he was heard from.
Really?
Yes.
Nobody found him?
No.
They never found him.
Now listen. John List was born an only child to strict immigrant parents.
Okay.
From an early age, he was taught to be a good Christian.
Wait, you're talking about immigrant parents that are like, you're saying aliens that can make somebody disappear? Is that where you're going back to
no,
this?
No, I'm just talking about his... After high school, he enlisted in the Army, and he saw heavy combat in World War II.
Ooh,
so that
mess
could
you
have
up.
Caused, yes, yeah.
That'd mess you
when
up.
He returned home, he went to college and moved to Virginia, where he met and married Helen.
Okay, beautiful Helen.
According to List, she falsely said she was pregnant, which was why they married. He was deeply repressed, unable to express his emotions. In 1958, he started a series of accounting jobs, but he was let go each time because there was something about his personality.
Ooh, gosh. I wonder what places those were.
So in 1965, he was hired as vice president of a bank.
Oh,
and that's
okay.
when he bought the
okay,
mansion.
Well, a vice president of a bank after not being able to find a job at all, being laid off for being a crazy person.
That's
hey,
right.
Let's make that guy our vice president.
Vice president. That's right. And that's when he bought that mansion upon pressure from his wife.
Well, you're always pressuring me to buy mansions, but I ain't giving in.
List and his wife, who drank to excess, were often at odds. Pressure was increased by the presence of List's overbearing mother.
Yeah, that'll happen.
1966, List was fired after 1 year. And that's the start of his psychological downfall. He had hid that from his family. He would get dressed and leave for work each morning. He began to resent his family.
You know, how come they never call anybody else overbearing except for mothers? Like, fathers are never overbearing, are
that's
they?
That's true. Yeah, they don't. They have other words for
when they're
being
that
fathers
they're
are strict
abusive or whatever
or
yeah.
something.
Overbearing, it seems like.
As a woman. Yeah, it's like a sexist term
sexist
almost
term,
or something.
Think,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's not. I don't know.
So
he's an overbearing mother.
This went, he began to resent his family, and the resentment grew as he went through a string of unsuccessful jobs for the next 5 years.
Hmm.
So eventually he was facing bankruptcy.
Hmm.
He thought suicide was a mortal sin, and his pride prevented him from leaving the family, like abandoning them.
Yeah.
His religion, in his mind, made poverty a sin, so he saw no other choice but to kill his family and send them to heaven.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. And then he would go to hell to send them to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, he thought he would be forgiven. His sins would
be
forgiven, yeah.
Gosh, man.
So psychologists say he has obsessive compulsive personality disorder.
Okay.
And he repressed problems and dealt with things in a cold clinical way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a shame. Just not a...
They did catch him, finally.
Oh, they did?
Yes.
I thought you were going to say they never did.
Nope. I was kind of leaving it on the hook.
You're trying to leave it on the hook only to say, okay, I was lying.
They did catch him, and this is his account of what
when
happened
did they catch him?
That day. They caught him in... Hold on. I was going to get to that part later.
Oh, I'm sorry. You can say you'll find out later.
June 1st,
1989. Oh. They caught him the same day that Mike Tyson and Robin Givens got divorced?
Yes, that day.
That day. I remember that day all the time.
So this is his account of what happened.
Okay.
So that morning on November 9th of 71, the morning that they got murdered,
yeah,
he went down to breakfast and ate breakfast with his kids and sent them to school.
Okay.
He then went to the garage and got his guns ready. He came back in and his wife came into the kitchen and he shot her in the head.
Wow.
Then he went up to his mother's apartment and killed her.
Gosh.
Then he went back down to clean up the mess.
Well, she was overbearing.
Yeah, that's true.
So she deserved it. So. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding, overbearing mothers of the world.
He went back down to clean up the mess before his children came home. He dragged Helen's body into the ballroom and then he wrote the letters to the children's school saying they were going on a trip. Then he went to the bank and withdrew $2,000, and then he went to the post office to send the letters and stop the mail.
Okay.
After returning home, he made a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. Tuna?
Yeah, probably.
You gotta have a sandwich.
And waited for his children to come home. 16-year-old Patty came home first, so he shot her in the head, then moved her to the ballroom next to her mother.
Just if she hadn't come home first.
13-year-old Frederick was next.
Oh.
Then he went
to Frederick.
Then he left to pick up John at school. And they came home together, and the list shot him. And John was the one who, he kind of jerked around and stuff, and so list shot him 9 more times.
Oh, gosh.
Everybody else was just shot once.
I feel like, was this on an episode of...
It was. There is a Forensic Files.
Forensic Files. Because this, I remember seeing some videos.
Seeing pictures of
pictures.
Them in the ballroom.
Oh, man.
So he moved
and
John.
Again, I don't get it. Like,
yeah.
Why spend all your time with your stomach turning to stuff like this when you can watch... two fat naked guys with dolphins on their heads.
What? What are you talking about?
Oh, you didn't hear that thing when?
No.
I was on America's Got Talent or something. They broke into the TV to announce John McCain's death.
Yeah.
And there's a YouTube video where somebody was watching and they recorded it that they broke into America's Got Talent. So they're like, the nation mourns as we have lost American patriot John McCain.
Yeah.
Now back to your regular scheduled programming.
And
it's two big fat guys. Two shirtless fat guys with dolphin masks on, like making out like with each other.
Oh my God.
It's like,
only in America.
It's like that sums up what's wrong with America. Like that's everything.
Yes.
We return you to your two big fat shirtless guys with dolphin masks on.
Oh my God.
America, enjoy that.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like that's what's going on.
So he moved John and then he cleaned up. He ate another meal.
Okay.
He then went up to bed.
Gosh. All these dead people and he's going just going about his
day. And he goes to bed, and he says he slept better that night than he did the night before.
Can you just imagine the plethora of warning signs that this guy was probably giving off?
I would
think. That everybody just ignored, probably.
I would think.
They had to. If you're going to do something like that.
It's those real quiet, you know, they say it's always the quiet ones you got to watch. But yeah. Real quiet, mild manner.
I love the quiet ones. Those are my favorite people.
It's all building up inside until they explode.
Yeah.
So the next morning.
Don't explode, little guys.
He prepared his getaway car. He prepared his getaway. He set the thermostat down to 50 degrees to keep the bodies from decomposing, he thought. He turned on all the lights in the house.
Just these thoughts that have to think of this.
And he turned the radio on to classical music to make it look like people were home.
Oh, so people would just go, okay, they're fine.
Yeah. Finally, he wrote the letter to the pastor. It was nearly a month before police found the letter and family. But by then, List was 2,000 miles away. He went out west to Denver and changed his name to Robert Clark. He got a job as a cook in a hotel and gradually assumed his new identity. By 1985, 15 years later, he had gone back to being an accountant and remarried.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
The woman married him not having any idea.
No idea.
Oh, my goodness.
So police never forgot about the case, and they began
looking for him.
They began this media collaboration. In 1989, America's Most Wanted featured List.
What? He was still in 1989 missing. Yeah, you said in 89.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
By this time, he had moved to Virginia.
Oh, my gosh. What?
And America's Most Wanted was one of his favorite shows.
Really? So he saw himself on there.
And producers had an artist make a 3D bust of what List might look like after aging and everything. Yeah. And List watched the program.
Where did he live?
And he was surprised at how much they got it right, how accurate it was.
Yeah, he was like, oh, that's exactly what I did. They know it.
Yeah.
They figured it out. So because he was so happy with that, he turned himself in?
No. After it aired, more than 200 tips poured in. One call from Denver was from a next-door neighbor, and she said, my neighbor is, I think Robert Clark is John List. So the FBI on June 1st, 1989, went to his house.
June 1st. Oh, yeah, that's when Tyson and Givens got their divorce, sadly.
And, of course, his wife, Dolores, didn't believe it was that he was John List. She just...
Oh, I call that that June 1st, I call that heartbreak day, because that was the day my heart broke for Mike Tyson and Robin Givens. I mean, that marriage is one I just wanted to last.
So she tells him where he works.
Okay.
And they go to his workplace, and he denied being John List, but they took his fingerprints, and they matched...
Okay.
The fingerprints.
Didn't admit
of
it.
List.
But they got the fingerprints now. Yeah.
Yes. So he was arrested after 18 years.
Wow.
He kept denying it in court. He kept denying it, and then in court, he finally admitted to his identity.
Whew.
So June 29th, 1989.
Yeah.
He was extradited to New Jersey.
Hmm. Oh, you mean the same day that I call it Temmy Day? That's the day Susan Lucci lost her 10th Emmy.
Oh.
She lost her 10th daytime Emmy.
And you call that what?
I call it Temmy Day, just because that's the day.
You're ridiculous.
Well, I mean, don't we all celebrate?
Mourn,
I mean, I take off work.
Yeah,
every Temmy Day when Susan Lucci lost her 10th
daytime
Emmy. I just can't.
The state psychiatrist couldn't find any psychiatric mitigating factors.
Okay.
Defense tried to excuse his actions because of his personality disorder and his OCD.
All right.
They said he had diminished mental capacity and should be convicted to second-degree murder instead of first.
Because he's kind of... Because of that, huh?
They're trying to say it wasn't premeditated.
Yeah.
But April 11th...
Which is, I mean, it's weird. There's different...
Well, of course it was premeditated.
Yeah, I know. But just they're like, hey, yeah, he killed his whole family and everybody left him there, but he wasn't thinking about it that long.
Yeah, so just, I know.
So just let him out. He wasn't really thinking about it, so he'll probably be fine.
So on April 11th, the trial concluded and the jury convicted him of all five counts of first-degree murder, and he was sentenced to five life sentences because at the time of the murder, they did not have the death penalty in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
So even though it was back,
they
couldn't convict him to death sentence him to death. And that's the story of John List.
Well, that's a very creepy one. But yeah, I'm
glad to be on the lam for that long.
That long, that's crazy.
Would be nuts.
Now, what did his wife say? His new wife?
I don't know.
And did he have kids? He didn't have new kids, right?
No, he didn't have new kids.
Oh, that was a gross one.
Yeah.
That guy's gross.
He sure is. But you should see this documentary I watched. And yeah. I got most of my information from a Notorious. It used to be on the Biography Channel.
It's a television show yeah. called Notorious?
Yeah.
Okay.
But they
shout
had,
out to Notorious.
They had John Walsh. Do you know who John Walsh is?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
had him He's on the, there, yeah. America's Most Wanted guy.
Yeah.
And he was cussing a blue streak. Like, they kept beeping out because he's like, that son of a bitch
Why?
Is, going to rot in hell and all this stuff.
Why was he so mad?
Well, he just hates bad guys.
Yeah.
He's like, he's a child killer and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
Yeah, because didn't that John Walsh started that because his son got kidnapped
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, and
killed?
Murdered.
God, yeah.
They think he got decapitated.
Oh, my God, that's awful.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Franklin Pierce's son, President Franklin Pierce.
What? Oh.
14th president, mm-hmm. Franklin Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know about that story?
I think you told me.
He and his, like, they... They had like three kids. But
it was like a train accident or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, their only kid that survived, all their other kids died of cholera or something, you know, because everybody's kids died back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the only one left was the pride and joy of his wife. And they were on a train, a train accident, and they watched him get decapitated in front of them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That was,
and he went on to be president
he
after
kept,
that?
He kept being president, yeah. And then his wife died.
He was president when
he
that
was
happened?
He was president. I think he was president. Was he president when that happened?
I don't know.
I think he was.
What are you asking me for?
And I think he kept going, and then he was an alcoholic. He was, they called him Handsome Frank. This is now a Franklin yeah. Pierce podcast. No, I am going to start a president podcast. I'm working on yeah. putting that together. So, and we will go deep into the Franklin Pierce son's head murder thing. So.
Okay.
But as you were saying, so that's it. Crazy.
Yep.
That's nuts. On Saturday, November 20th, 1971, Isaac Hayes took over the number one spot on the Billboard charts with a theme song.
Shaft. Yep.
That's crazy to me that a TV show theme song was
I know.
A Billboard song, but everybody must have loved that show.
I think they love that song or something.
Yeah, everybody loved that song and that show, I think. But
who is the man? Who
Isaac Hayes told National Public Radio, that's NPR, to you knuckleheads, that he had only agreed to write and record the Shaft score after Shaft producer Joel Freeman promised him an audition for the lead role.
Oh, boom.
But it was taken by a then-unknown Richard Roundtree.
That's right.
He never got the chance to audition, but he kept his end of the deal anyway.
Now, didn't they have movies, Shaft movies, too?
I think so, yeah. Uh-huh.
Richard Roundtree.
I'm pretty sure. And then who reprised it?
Richard Roundtree didn't play Sweetback, did he?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I can't remember who that was. Sweetback's badass song. I was in a play with the son of a blaxploitation director.
Oh, okay.
The guy who directed...
It's fascinating. Your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Hey! Screw you.
All right, what's next?
He directed one of those. Saturday, December 4th, 1971, a fire broke out at the Montreux Casino during a Frank Zappa concert.
Did it?
Yep. This event was the inspiration for Deep Purple's iconic song, Smoke on the Water.
Bam, bam,
they wrote
bam,
about this.
Bam, bam, bam.
It was the casino was burnt down after a fan
mm-hmm.
had set the venue on fire with a flare gun.
Whoa.
A recording of the outbreak.
So that wasn't an accident.
Yeah, no. A recording. Well, I don't think he was trying to set it on fire. Maybe it was.
With a flare gun?
Yeah, I don't know
obviously
why he had a flare gun. Yeah.
Obviously it was on purpose.
Well, maybe he was broken down. His car was broken down. He was trying to get help with a flare gun.
I don't know about that.
And he just happened to hit the... Because, you know, a recording of the outbreak and fire announcement can be found on a Frank Zappa bootleg album titled Swiss Cheese Fire.
Oh, really?
How about that?
Hmm. Not a big Frank Zappa fan.
Yeah, I don't really listen to Zappa much either, right? Yeah. Not, me neither. Not Dweezil.
No.
And Moon Unit. There's a couple other ones, I think. Saturday, December 4th, 1971, then Sly and the Family Stone, Family mm-hmm. Affair, takes over the number one
it's
spot in the Billboard chart.
Affair.
It's a Family Affair. I liked a lot of Sly and Sly Stone, but this wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
It's all right.
It's not bad.
Do you know who the members of Sly and the Family Stone are? You know,
no.
It's a whole family. It actually is a family.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I guess I never knew that.
I didn't really know much about them either, but I looked it up a little bit. They're from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
They formed in 1966. They were pivotal in the development of funk, soul, rock, and psychedelic music. All this is according to Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
But its core lineup was led by singer-songwriter, producer, and multi-instrumentalist Sly Stone, and includes Stone's brother
mm-hmm.
and single guitarist Freddie Stone, sister and singer singer-keyboardist Rose Stone, trumpeter Cynthia Robinson, drummer Greg Errico, saxophonist Jerry Martini, and bassist Larry Graham. It was the first major American rock group to have a racially integrated male and female lineup. Okay, so it wasn't all family.
I was going
to
say, yeah. It can't be family. No,
I stopped with family after I got the third, but I didn't even know any of them were a real family.
Okay.
But that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
September 10th, 1971, at London's Rainbow Theater, during a concert, disgruntled fan Trevor Charles Howell rushed the stage and shoved Frank Zappa into the orchestra pit.
Poor Frank Zappa.
He's got a lot of rough things. Enraged over his girlfriend's infatuation with the mustachioed rocker. You know, who would not be infatuated with a mustachioed rocker?
Yeah, he had a big mustache.
Zappa suffered a crushed larynx, which resulted in a deeper, huskier singing voice. And he was also in a wheelchair for a year. So that's how his voice changed.
He got really banged up.
Yeah.
Jeez, that guy really went to town.
But the people that were fans of him after this are probably like, yeah, thank God that happened because I love his new voice.
Oh.
The band thought I was dead, Zappa later recalled in a 1989 autobiography, The Real Frank Zappa Book. My head was over my shoulder. My neck was bent like it was broken. I had a gash in my chin, a hole in the back of my head, a broken rib, and a fractured leg. One arm was paralyzed.
All from the guy just brushing him?
Yeah, he fell into the orchestra pit.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like 10 feet.
Oh, God.
Or something.
Yeah.
You know, you can really get hurt. Sometimes maybe it's 20 feet. I don't know.
Oh,
it's,
my God.
Maybe it's 10,000 feet. I mean, depending on where they were.
10,000 feet.
Like, I mean, at concerts, yeah. Sometimes it's way up. I don't know. But you can get really fucked up doing that.
I guess
that.
So.
As Howell attempted to flee, he was caught by enraged audience members who passed him off to Zappa's roadies, who may or may not have roughed him up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, rumors of Zappa's allegedly fatal accident spread like wildfire through the crowd. Howell later admitted that he was jealous. His girlfriend had recently admitted her infatuation with Zappa, which triggered the sudden burst of rage. The vicious attack forced the band to cancel the remaining dates of their tour, leaving Zappa in a wheelchair for about a year. Though he would eventually recover from his injuries, he did suffer chronic back pain throughout his life. And many fans suspect Zappa's crushed larynx was the ultimate reason for his switch to a deeper, huskier vocal delivery.
Well, duh. That's why.
Yeah, his next two albums, 1972's Waka Jawaka and The Grand Wazoo, were full of richly layered jazz fusion instrumentals.
Okay.
You love jazz fusion.
I don't.
Well, Rod Stewart would bang you if you were at a Jazz Fusion Festival.
I guess
Friday,
so.
December 17th, 1971, Diamonds Are Forever is the number three movie that year.
James Bond. Never seen a James Bond movie.
Me neither. But, and so let's just pause for the onslaught of people who are angry about that. But I will say, we watched the trailer to this one.
Yeah, that's right.
And it looked pretty good.
Well, I think I want to see
it. Yeah, Sean Connery.
If I
ever watch a Bond, it's going to be Sean Connery for sure. So,
yeah.
I may sneak into starting watching these Bond movies.
Really?
From the beginning.
I think they all look like the same. Like, they look like you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Yeah, they probably are.
Yeah.
But there's so many references I've missed out on. Like,
you've seen one bag, you've seen them all.
Yeah, what's the gold pussy or whatever? There's all these things that people talk
Octopussy.
About that I don't know because I've never watched any of them.
That's
but,
right.
Yeah, I just never was interested in a rich guy superhero.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, I don't know. So Frank Zappa got fucked up. Thursday, December 23rd, 1971, Dirty Harry was released. That was the number four highest grossing movie in 1971.
I don't think we watched that trailer.
No, I guess we did. Dirty Harry, yeah.
We missed it.
I guess we didn't.
I haven't seen that either.
The movie's famous line is often misquoted. You know what the line is?
Go ahead, make my day.
No, that's a later one, I think.
Oh.
He's got two of those iconic ones. But it's a lot of people misquote the line as, do you feel lucky, punk?
Oh.
Well, the actual line is, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All righty.
You feel lucky, punk? Okay. A 17-year-old girl on December, wait. Friday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, 1971.
Mm-hmm.
The day after Corey Haim was born, a 17-year-old girl, Julianne Kepke, was the only survivor of a plane crash in the jungle of Peru.
Oh, my God.
She wandered 10 days through the jungle with an injured knee, a broken collarbone, and only some sweets as food until she found a group of lumbermen who brought her into a town. Kepke was a German-Peruvian high school senior studying in Lima, intending to become a zoologist like her parents. On December 24th, 1971, she and her mother were traveling to meet with her father, who was working in the city of Pucallpa.
So her mother died too?
Yep.
Oh, man.
The Lanza Lockheed Ultra.
That's some strong Lockheed bitch Electra right there.
Commercial airline was struck by lightning during a severe thunderstorm and broke up in midair.
Oh, man.
Disintegrating at 10,000 feet.
Can you imagine surviving a plane crash?
Can you even imagine go there? I mean. What?
To survive how would you even, a plane crash?
That's crazy. There's been two. We talked about one before, a little
PTSD.
Girl, remember?
Oh, Jesus.
This girl who was 17 years old fell to earth, still strapped into her seat.
Oh, my
God. She survived the fall. She survived the fall with only a broken collarbone, a gash to her right arm, and her right eye swollen shut. She was definitely strapped in the seat.
Holy crap.
She said, I must have turned and buffered the crash, otherwise I wouldn't have survived. 10,000 feet.
I know. How is that possible?
Yeah. Her first priority was to find her mother, who had been seated next to her, and the search was unsuccessful. She later found her mother had initially survived the crash, but died from her injuries several days later.
Aww.
Oh, my gosh.
Jeez.
Yeah, she found some sweets, which were to become her only food. After looking for her mother and other passengers, she was able to locate a small stream. She waded through knee-high water downstream for her landing site, relying on her survival principles her father had taught her, that tracking downstream should eventually lead to civilization.
That's smart.
Yeah, the stream provided clean water and a natural path through the dense rainforest vegetation. That's crazy. I would have never known that.
No.
I'm glad I know it now.
Yeah.
I'm never getting on an airplane again. But
seriously, not after this horror show of a story.
So during the trip, Kepke could not sleep at night because of insect bites, which became infected. After 9 days, several spent floating downstream, she found a boat near a shelter, where she found the boat's motor and fuel tank. Relying again on her father's advice, she poured gasoline on her wounds, which succeeded in removing 35 maggots from one arm.
Oh.
Then waited until rescuers arrived. She later recounted her necessary efforts that day.
How many survival skills did she know? Pour gasoline on your arm if you ever have maggots in it.
Well, I'm glad I know that now. Oh, my God. Man, now I can finally get those maggots out of my sores. Jeez.
Ugh. How many?
Maggots.
How extensive was his education of survival skills to that chapter?
That's crazy. I remember having seen my father when he cured a dog of worms in the jungle with gasoline. I got some gasoline and poured on myself. I counted the worms when they started to slip out.
Ew.
There were 35 on my arm.
Oh.
I remained there, but I wanted to leave. I didn't want to take the boat because I didn't want to steal it. Hours later, the lumberman who used the shelter arrived and tended to her injuries.
Yipe.
Hours later, the lumberman who used that shelter arrived and tended to her injuries and bug infestations. The next morning, they took her via a 7-hour canoe ride down the river to Lumber Station.
Wow.
In the Tuna Vista District. With the help, I think you can hear our dog puking at this podcast.
No, he was just tip-tapping around.
With the help of a local pilot, she was airlifted to a hospital and her waiting father.
Wow.
How do you get to be a lumberman?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Is that just the word of a lumber? Is that just a lumberjack?
Yeah, I think so.
In whatever language I got this from, Wikipedia? Whoever put it on there. Okay. And then the next, that was Christmas Eve. Merry Christmas, honey.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, my God.
Got you some maggots.
Yes. Here we go.
Sorry, it's all I had. I had 35 of them, though. A lot of maggots. Here you go.
There's a big special on maggots at the store.
And then Christmas Day, Melanie takes over the Billboard charts with Brand New Key.
I got a brand new key. Pair of roller skates. I got a brand new key. Yeah, I remember that.
I broke into your house and stole your mother's jeans. Something like that. Something about breaking in your house or going by their house. I rode my bicycle past your window last night.
You really jamming out to that song.
Yeah. 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 Well, it's the end of 1971. She's also the beginning of 72, so I don't really know that.
Melanie.
Yeah, Melanie's the best. I listen to that on repeat in my Prius with my shirt off.
No, I don't think you do.
I do, and nobody can deny it. But now we've come to the part where we have to give our corrections and apologies.
Wait, what about my toys?
No.
I got some toys.
Toys? What about my corrections?
All right. So
you have toys and I have corrections.
I got some Barbie stuff that was going on in 1971.
Okay.
Malibu
Barbie started in 1971?
Malibu Barbie. She was beach ready.
Now that's famous.
Yes. And then also she had a fashion boutique. Ooh. And had that fancy. Came with jacket and pants set and nightie, dress and accessories. And they had these on-the-go cars.
Hey, I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me being a guy, but I just did not have the patience for trying to put clothes on those damn Barbie dolls.
When did you even try?
Putting a shirt on is impossible. Or action figures that size, I guess. Yeah. Or, you know, when you're a kid, as a boy, there's girls next door. Like, we played every once in a while. I'd play with the girls next door, and they had Barbies, and they always want to play Barbies. I'm like, all right. But I just get so frustrated. Like, I can't get this shirt on.
It takes practice.
I don't know how to put his pants on. Like,
it takes practice.
He doesn't even have a gun. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, I have a gun. To do this.
There was a Lego house building set. Super set includes roof tiles, working door, garage door, miniature car, and wheels.
Oh, that's nice.
There was
like somebody. Maybe, you know, those toys are like getting kids ready. Like, here, fix this leaky roof.
That's right.
And now you can get on our real roof.
Then there was an NFL electric football game.
This was the shit.
Did you have this?
I have one in the garage right now. Yes, I love the electric football. It's the vibrating football. You set up the guys. This is what taught me how football works.
Oh.
This is how I learned.
You tried to get Henry into it with that thing, didn't you?
I tried. I know. This is how I learned what a first down was, and that because there was a little yellow referee marker.
You should try to show him again. Maybe he'd like it now.
I tried. Maybe I'll show him again. But that and I was about to say, you know, a little bit before that, but we had the little guys, and it never worked the right way. Like, you turn it on, and they just all turns like one guy's doing a ballet circles and they're just going in different ways, and never like, and the ball was like the size, like just tiny between your little, it's like the size of a booger, and it was foam, and you had to like kick it, and it never went where you wanted to go. The guys couldn't hold it. You had to like wedge it under their arm. Okay, I'm ready for this play. I'm putting the ball on him, and then they never did anything. But I always wanted to make that work, but it was great. It's the best thing ever.
It was. It
I love it. I have it in the garage right now.
Now these were popular. The next few are popular. They weren't invented, or, you know, this wasn't the year they premiered.
Okay.
This is just popular toys.
Okay. All right, I guess we'll take
that. Because I looked up, did some extensive research, and it was definitely not when they were, like, first came out.
Yeah.
The Etch-a-Sketch was a big popular thing, which I never, ever got into that. Like,
it's hard. Very hard.
So
hard. Very frustrating.
Yes. Very frustrating. And then you get carpal tunnel with the stupid thing.
What if all you had, what if you're trapped, what if you died, what if you survived a plane crash?
Yeah.
You're the only survivor.
Yeah.
The only things that survived was an Etch-a-Sketch and a Rubik's Cube.
Oh, my God. And you on a beach. Shoot myself in the head.
Is that the worst thing ever?
It would. Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yep.
And,
It's never worked good either.
The game of Battleship, which I used to enjoy that game.
Yeah, that's good strategy involved in that
battleship.
Game. Yeah, we always played Strip Battleship.
There was a game of Operation, where the guy's got the red nose and you can't get the stuff out.
No use for that game at all.
No.
There's not one thing about that appeals to me.
Makes that big noise.
Let's have an electric shock. So let's add that right along with the Rubik's Cube and the damn Etch-a-Sketch and the fucking Operation game. Where it's like, why would you want to be shocked?
If you don't get shocked, it just lights up.
It shakes.
No,
it vibrates when you hit it, too. Yeah,
it
vibrates. And you're like, God, like shock. It like startles you. It's like
a startle game. Like Perfection. Remember Perfection?
Perfection. God.
Oh.
Damn it. I don't want to play that. It made me nervous. Too much pressure, Perfection.
That's how I feel about Pac-Man. How you're feeling right now.
That's a lot of pressure, but.
That's why I hate Pac-Man.
What's that?
It makes me nervous.
Perfection is the one where this timer and all the pieces go flying.
Yes.
Let's, if you don't finish this in this time, I'm taking the puzzle and I'm whipping it up in your face. It's like, okay, so let's see. I got an idea for a game. Okay, so it's like a puzzle.
I know.
And for the kids, it's a puzzle and it's a shape thing and they have to do the shapes. But if they don't get it in a minute,
sounds pretty good.
Charlie's going to flip over the board and the pieces are going to go flying everywhere.
He's going to throw them right in their eyes.
And so the game will come just with this fat guy named Charlie and he'll be sitting next to the game and then he'll just flip the board up. Let's get rid of Charlie. Let's still have the effect of somebody throwing all the pieces everywhere because they're pissed off and you didn't get it done in time.
Oh, I know.
But we got a contraption that'll do that. That's just crazy.
Then there was a little girl's rocking horse, and I had one of these. And I don't think it was only for little girls. It was this horse you could ride on, and it was on springs.
Yeah.
On the four corners of it were springs.
Oh, yeah, like a rocking horse. Okay.
Bounce up and down on it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to have one of those.
Yeah.
There was.
You had a pony.
Yeah, kind of. Oh. There was a candle sculpture making kit. Make and sculpture your own candle sculptures, including white-eyed owl, primitive tiki statue, decorative mushroom. Set includes 4 reusable molds, 2 pounds of wax, wicks, and a special melting pot.
All right, that'd be something at the toy store I would have been like, see, Mom and Dad, do not this. No. Never get me this.
No.
I don't want that. I never want that.
Well,
why is that a toy? Why is that even a thing?
Why is it? That is a dangerous toy. Yeah. Melted, playing with melted wax?
Nobody gave a fuck in the 70s. Kids could play with that. We had a wood burning set. As a kid, we're kids walking around. There's a fucking wood burning set. I don't know how we didn't burn the house down.
Well, and I love
that.
Are you
kidding me?
I love that it's got
play with fire.
A primitive tiki statue and a decorative mushroom. That's so 70s.
Yeah, that's like definitely
mushrooms.
Might as well just
on the wallpaper and stuff.
Tiki
and tikis. Yep,
that's funny.
And the last thing was spacewalker shoes. And they made it seem like you're walking on the moon with built-in dual springs. And it's basically shoes on
big
looks
springs.
Like cartoon character,
springs
on shoes. but it's a real thing.
Yeah.
I never thought that was something that would really
exist. That kind of worked, right?
Oh, my God. That would have been so dangerous. It's another one that would have just...
Nobody gave a fuck
Nobody
in the
gave a fuck.
You know, just like we talk about like back...
children.
Yeah, like... I know I burned myself on that wood burning kit so many times. I was like, 3. I shouldn't have a wood burning kit. That's not access to one. That's crazy.
Are you ready?
Yeah, this
for
is
your
fun. That's funny.
Corrections and apologies.
Yeah. Well, so this is for 1970,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily the last episode. So in 1970, we had a quick discussion about B.J. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought
I
couldn't remember. I was like, the raindrops keep falling on my head guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know it was a sitcom song. And you were like, no, no, what are you talking about? And I was convinced it was Golden Girls, but it wasn't that because that was a remake of a Andrew Gold hit. But it was Growing Pains, B.J. Thomas.
I can't believe that.
And it was a duet, Growing Pains with him. And he wrote it though. And he actually performed it like in bars and stuff.
He would?
Yeah. Yeah. He would. Weird. And with different women. And so like there's online, there's like concerts with him and special guest, Jennifer Garner. And she's singing the girl part, not Jennifer Garner, but somebody kind of, that was kind of famous. But so B.J. Thomas is a sitcom guy. That was right. No, that was it.
All right.
The only other thing I had, let's see. Oh, Andy did correct me. My brother Andy listened, and he's a music aficionado. So also in 1970,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned that, I guess I said, I don't recall saying this, but I believe I did because he wouldn't have told me otherwise. I apparently said that Venus by, who sings Venus? Shocking Blue, singing the original Venus.
Mm-hmm.
I said that was on the Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack.
Oh, okay.
And it's not.
Oh.
And I don't know why I would have said that or why I thought that was on there, but I surmised after talking to Andy last night, I was like, I don't remember saying that or why I'd think that, but Blue reminds me of something. And I looked, there was not a Shocking Blue song on there, but there's a Blue Velvet or Blue, some other band, Blue in their title.
Oh,
so
and that's what
maybe,
made you think of that?
Maybe that's why I thought it was them. I don't know.
That's
I don't know
weird.
Why I thought that song. I don't know. I don't remember saying that, but I must have said it, so I'm apologizing for saying it. I was wrong, and I don't know why. He said,
wrong.
Yeah, he said it must have been in your notes about the Michael Jackson 5 song. One of
Okay.
Whichever one that was, which was on the soundtrack. But I looked, it wasn't in my notes at all. So I just freestyled a completely wrong thing that I don't know why I would
have. We never do that. What are you talking about?
Impression.
That never happens on this show.
That's right. Oh, wait. That's kind of the name of our show. Yeah, freestyling wrong things.
No problem there.
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing
out
of formula there.
This is just to have fun.
This is a train wreck.
Yeah, we're just trying to have fun.
All right. So
put this in the Trainwreck was a category on podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. Yeah. We would be in the Trainwreck category.
Yes, we would be.
So
thank you for listening.
Yeah,
and
man, we love
sure
you guys.
Make sure you subscribe.
Thank you
Hit
for
the
listening.
Subscribe button on your phone.
Yeah.
That's how we supposedly get more listeners.
Yeah, and they say if you can all rate and review it. They say that if you do that, that helps get in some kind of algorithm. Because I think we're stuck at like 21 reviews.
Yeah.
So I think we can't go anywhere unless everybody just reviews us. Not that we're going to go anywhere anyway, but.
Never know.
Who cares? Yeah, we don't need to go anywhere. We're cool right here.
That's right.
But, I guess, I don't know, that's what you're supposed to say and do. So do it, I guess.
All right. It's time to get out of here, Chuck Berry.
It is time. Oh, Chuck Berry's in here again?
Yep, he's in here again.
Well, maybe he should stop filming us in the bathroom.
Oh, Chuck Berry's in here again.
In my toilet.
That's right.
Chuck Berry. Oh, hello, Chuck Berry. Nice to meet you.
All right.
Oh, okay. What? Oh, you have a number one song on the Billboard charts?
Not right now.
No, that's next year. Next episode is a little preview.
We get to talk about Chuck Berry.
Yeah, we'll talk about Chuck Berry. Anyway, get out of here, Chuck Berry.
All right, get out of here.
American Timelines is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. For more information, go to queencitypodcastnetwork.com.